start the guest-a-palooza, like I called it, here with Elliot Clough from HawkeyeInsider.com, part of the 24/7 Sports Network. Does great work over there with David and Sean at 24/7 Sports, and appreciate him taking some time to talk Cy-Hawk here on 1600 ESPN. Elliot, always appreciate the time. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Spencer?
Great, great. Great to be talking Cy-Hawk. Great to be talking college football, that's for sure. Just heard that clip from Mark Gronowski. I'm curious, what did you make of his performance against Albany last week? And from your perspective, should there be concern about maybe what we didn't see from him in his Hawkeye debut?
So there are a couple things. First off, I think I may have mentioned this with you before, Spencer, but I used to cover UNI a little bit. And so I've seen Mark play a good amount. Like what we saw on Saturday is not who Mark Gronowski is as a quarterback. I mean, you could tell from sitting in the press box that he had happy feet, that he was anxious, uncomfortable, adrenaline was there. So, you know, I think we have to take Saturday's performance with a grain of salt, the size of 55 games played, the size of two national championships, the size of the Walter Payton Award winner, which is the FCS Heisman, and note what he's done and what he's done on a really big stage before in his career at South Dakota State. So I am not at the concern point yet. I would say I would reach a point starting after this game against Iowa State where I reach some level of concern if he plays similar or at that, you know, at a similar level as he did against Albany. That's when the concern starts to actually pile up for me. For me right now, this is one game. He went through his reads too quickly. He was clearly nervous, and he told us about that after the game. Took accountability, said, look, I'm disappointed in the way I played today. And, you know, I think jumping to conclusions after one game is unfair, especially considering his accomplishments that he's already reached so far in his college football career. Game one is for observations, not conclusions. And so, Mark, I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt. I'm not making any conclusions about him and his game, at least for probably a couple more weeks at this point. You know, Iowa State is a really important game for the state of Iowa. And if he goes out there and plays really well this weekend, everybody's going to forget about the Albany game.
What does a successful bounce back week look like for you? Obviously, the Hawkeye fans out there would love to see, you know, 250 yards and four touchdowns and maybe a couple rushing scores. But in realistic terms, Elliot, I mean, what does bouncing back look like for Mark Gronowski from last week to this week?
Right. Just given the way the Iowa offense is constructed, the offensive line being one of the best, probably in the Big Ten, if not the country, facing a 3-3-5, and just the fact that it's Iowa football, right? They're going to establish the run, right? So that's going to be the number one thing that Iowa wants to do. It's not going to be perfect because Iowa State does run a really, I mean, it's a good defensive team. Matt Campbell has a good team there in Ames. So they're going to do their best to establish the run. If they can get going through the air, you know, honestly, the way I look at this game on Saturday, if Mark passes for 100 yards, 150 yards, and a touchdown, and runs in for a score. Like, I mean, that's probably going to be a successful day. If Iowa is able to run the ball like they have in previous years, if Xavier Williams has an awesome day, if Jazz Patterson has a great day, if TJ Washington can break that one more tackle and have a few more explosive plays in the run game, I just don't think Mark is really going to have to do that much. If they're able to establish the run, get those safeties, get those DBs to creep up, and then beat him over the top, and he has one explosive play, maybe two explosive plays in the past game, I would count that as a success for Mark. Iowa isn't an aired-out offense, right? Like, that's just not who they are. So if he finishes with one or two explosive plays, just over 100 yards, and Iowa wins, that's a successful day, in my opinion, for Mark.
What do you make of the receiving core? I hyped him up quite a bit on the show. I had a few other guests do that, too, leading up to the season. Obviously, didn't see too much from them last Saturday against Albany. I know Reese Vanderzee being hurt, I think, impacts just the passing game in a big way. But I know a lot of people on Sam Phillips and what he can do, the transfer receiver coming in this offseason. Seth Anderson's still there. There's some good talent in that room. But what do you make just kind of how the receiving core stands going into week two, Elliot?
Yeah, I think that going back and watching, there were definitely moments where guys were open, right? And Mark, again, just went through his read a little too quickly, didn't find the open receiver, didn't trust his arm, didn't trust his ability to make the throws. And you can put that on a few things. You can put that on the anxiety. You can put that on the stress of it being his first start at Iowa. And I think additionally, like, what have we seen in these videos, these offseason videos from Iowa in terms of the deep ball? It's Mark Gronowski hitting Reese Vanderzee deep. Like, I'm not saying that hasn't happened with other receivers, tight ends. Like, I'm sure it has, but I have to think that has to impact his ability to throw the ball a little bit. Like, Reese is very similar to Griffin, or I'm sorry, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting who he had a tight end or a receiver that hit the portal this off season. Forgive me, a big receiver that was similar to his size, hit the portal, ended up at Northwestern, but it's a similar receiver to what he's worked with in the past, and then you just take away that arguably his best option in the pass game. That's going to mess some things up a little bit. I'm not completely out on the receivers by any means. I still think this weekend you got to get the ball in Sam Phillips' hands. We saw that. He got open in the end zone. Obviously, Mark missed that throw. He had that big carry or big return when Wiegen didn't return the ball late in the game. Sam Phillips is a playmaker. You got to get the ball in his hands. You got to get the ball in Seth Anderson's hands. So, I don't think last week is an indication of their ability to play wide receiver, their ability to get open, none of that. I just think it comes down to Mark having his early game jitters, his struggles to start the season at Iowa.
Elliot Clough from HawkeyeInsider.com, part of 24/7 Sports, talking Cy-Hawk football here on 1600 ESPN. You talked a lot about establishing the run and hoping that opens up the pass game. Is it as simple as that for the Iowa offense to find success against the Iowa State defense this weekend in your mind, or is there something else that needs to get added to that for them to go in and win again in Ames?
Yeah, the defense, they've got to get a serious pass rush on Rocco back. Like Rocco is is very legit. That, and one point that I've continued to make throughout this preview, this Cy-Hawk rivalry week on the shows I've been on Swarmcast, all of that, Iowa State has run 144 plays in two games so far offensively. Spencer, I'm going to pose this question to you. Out of those 144, how many plays do you think Iowa State has run with one or fewer tight ends on the field?
Oh, it's got to be close to zero. They're featuring them heavily, aren't they?
Yep. Four.
Wow.
Four out of 144. So they're going to run 12, 13 personnel quite a bit this weekend, and that poses a real challenge to Iowa defense, because typically when there's two or more tight ends on the field, Iowa's going to run their 4-3 base defense. What that means is you take the cash off the field effectively. You put in Jackson Rexroth. Now, we saw what Jackson Rexroth did against Missouri in the passing coverage in the bowl game, and he did not play well in that respect. Is he good in run support? Yes. Is he great in terms of pass coverage? I would not say so. That would make me nervous. So, is Phil Parker going to run with the 4-2-5, potentially get beat in the run game where that tight end can block the defensive back, or is he going to run the 4-3 and potentially get beat in the passing game when you're matching up with one of the best quarterbacks, if not just the Big 12 in the country, in Rocco Beck? So that is going to be a real difficult assignment for Phil Parker to figure out against such a good quarterback, such a good offense. Taylor Mauser has really done a good job with that offense since he's taken over too. So those are two things that stick out to me. You got to make Rocco Beck uncomfortable if you can. And I think you got to figure out a balance. Are you going to allow those big plays like you did last year, the explosive plays, the big long touchdown to Jalen Knoll, the 30-yard pass to Jalen Knoll to set up the field goal? So it's a tough assignment for the defense. We're going to learn a lot about if TJ Hall is elite or not. We've heard a lot about him taking that step forward. This linebacking core, like, I can't lie, it does make me nervous. I mean, I wouldn't say they exactly played incredibly well last week against Albany either. So we're going to learn a lot about this defense. We're going to learn a lot about the linebackers, the corners, And we're going to see what Phil Parker can muster up against one of the better quarterbacks in the country.
What do you make of the trends in this series? And I think the easy explanation is that it's football and stuff like this happens all the time. But Iowa has not lost in Ames since 2011. Iowa State has had the most success in this series in Iowa City at Kinnick Stadium lately. That's just rivalry football, right? But I guess you cover the team closely. What do you see in the trends of this series when it comes to Iowa versus Iowa State?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting, like you said, it's rivalry football. It's an interesting factoid. I don't know, we've already made our picks, and I don't know if you're going to ask me to make my pick, but I do think that Iowa State does get the victory in Jack Trice for the first time under Matt Campbell against Iowa this weekend. I don't know that I'm putting too much stock. Obviously, I'm not putting much stock in the fact that Iowa hasn't lost at Jack Trice to Iowa State under Matt Campbell. I mean, I just think Rocco Becht is too good. I'm not a huge trends guy unless it's particularly tied to a certain player or a coordinator or anything like that. Not so much wins and losses, especially when it comes to the fact that Iowa State has beaten Iowa and Kinnick. Like it's just an interesting point to make, an interesting thing to note, but I don't know that I'm putting too much stock in it.
Well, you said you've made your picks. I was going to ask you if you wanted to make a pick, but I'll let you have the floor unless you're saving it for the folks at HawkeyeInsider.com. Give me just a thought on what this ultimately comes down to, and if you want to make the pick, go ahead.
Sure. So I think it really does come down to who has the ball last and who has the opportunity to set his team up for either a field goal or a touchdown late. And so for that reason, I'm going with Rocco Becht. The dude just knows how to win games late. Like, they won a bunch of one-possession games last year. This game has continually been a one-possession game, right? It's a rock fight. It's an embittered rivalry that is indefinitely just going to be a close game unless Iowa, somehow pulls off a miracle and wins, 42-3 like they did however long ago. But to me, it's Iowa State, and I'm picking the Cyclones because of Rocco Becht and his ability to pass the ball. So I think they have the last possession, and it either comes down to a Kyle Conrardi field goal or Rocco Becht leading the offense down for a score late in the game. It's just hard for me to pick against Becht right now, man.
Elliot, I'll let you give folks the info for Hawkeye Insider. I know a lot of great work, like I mentioned, being done with you and David and Sean, and great podcasts for folks to check out. What can they find there, not just for Cyhawk Week, but all season long?
Oh, yeah. Head over to HawkeyeInsider.com. We're loaded with recruiting content, women's basketball, men's basketball, football, what's going on behind the scenes. We're talking to sources throughout the season, whether it is recruiting or what's going on with the team and how things are going behind the scenes. Of course, have an in-depth look at McKenna Velisco's official visit to campus this last week in the five-star number six recruit in the country that Iowa is working to bring in for women's basketball. David did an awesome job there. But, yeah, follow along at Hawkeye Insider. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at Elliot Clough, ELIOTCLOUGH. So, tons of stuff going on, whether it's Cyhawk or the future, but Hawkeye Insider, we're loaded right now.
Excellent. Elliot, thanks for the time as always, man. We'll catch up soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Spencer.
Elliot Clough from HawkeyeInsider.com joining me here on 1600 ESPN. He is on the side of Iowa State as a reporter for HawkeyeInsider.com. I don't want to spoil their content. I was reading some of their content today. Again, great work over at Hawkeye Insider. He's not the only one. I'll just tell you that much. On their site, but appreciate his time. We'll get him back on the show here throughout the season.